It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Knight Nation. I'm Trey Strelko from the Sons of UCF, joined by Eric Lopez of the Black and Gold Banneret. Welcome to Around the Kingdom. Elo, hello.
Trace, the sun apparently came out. I didn't think that was possible, but we'll do the skies coming up on this edition of the fastest UCF show around the kingdom. Where does UCF basketball go from here? Where is college football going? And softball and baseball, big weekends in the Big 12, softball hosting number two, Texas. Baseball in Kansas. We'll all break it down for you on this edition of Around the Kingdom.
Is it just me or softball playing a ranked team every weekend?
We'll talk more about that
in a little bit. Before we get going, let's welcome the third member of our team, Adam Eaton from the Sons of UCF. Keeps an eye on the clock, keeps us on our toes, and has been battling the weather, under the weather a bit. Adam, hello.
Don't be alarmed by the dulcet tones of my voice. I could not stay away from another episode of Around the Kingdom. And as Eric Lopez said before the show, that cow game just made me sick.
All right, rest your voice. We'll see you back at time for the silly game. Well, Elo, the end of the road for UCF men's basketball. Got the Big 12 Conference Tournament win over Oklahoma State. Week or so ago, fell to BYU, got out. Hey, but an NIT bid, and that lasted all of 40 minutes, 40 game minutes, 2.5 hours of basketball time as it stretched into the wee hours for postgame. Elo, the hated Cows, 83, UCF 77. What went wrong in this one, Elo?
Well, for starters, when you're missing three players on your from your roster in rotation, that's not a good sign. I mean, I'm calling baseball next door, and it's nearing tip-off time, and I get a message that C.J. Walker's out and players, right? And I run into you after the words, and you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we got two players not dressed. Like, well, that's not a good start. Then USF couldn't miss from the three-point line. It hit, what, 9 threes in the first half? Tempo was on their pace. UCF made a run, but yet missed a ton of free throws, Trace. You can't miss as many free throws as UCF did. And they just couldn't dig themselves out of that big hole they dug out early.
South Florida, Elo, with 49 first half points. For perspective, UCF played at Houston. Now, they lost by 15, but they gave up 57 in that game. Lost 57-42. You've heard Johnny Dawkins talk all throughout this season during his tenure at UCF. The defense drives the offense. You know, South Florida wasn't that proficient a three-point shooting team coming into this game, were they? But if you're not going to be defended, heck, even you could make some threes in the first half against this UCF defense.
I had good range. Look, the fact of the matter is USF, they were motivated to play this game. I want to get into some of the nonsense I was listening on from the media and the press conference afterwards. I want to pick some bones here, but USF treated this like their Super Bowl. And I think we're learning here, Trace. Life as a Power 5 school, boom indeed. It's hard to get up for games like USF when you're playing Kansas, Baylor every night. We're learning now remember you made fun of all the Power 5 schools about, oh, they didn't care about this game. Now we know what they meant. But anyway, all right, my turn. I forgot. I got rambled on there. The question now that everybody chimes in, does this season get diminished by UCF losing at the NIT opening round against the Cows, Trace?
Yeah, it's a question I asked post-game of Jalen Sellers and Knights head coach Johnny Dawkins. Yes and no. I'm very conflicted. I think this is going to be an episode where we're conflicted about the state of men's basketball. We're going to get into some topics. It's been a season of great highs, highs that we could not have foreseen. Win over Kansas. It doesn't matter how Kansas may have struggled the rest of the way, because that it's Kansas, a road win at Texas. I mean, they far exceeded expectations, but as we'll talk about, also Jalen Sellers, Johnny Dawkins saying they underperformed expectations. They underwhelmed at times. How can you have both? You hate to lose to rival? Is that the right word? There's still some juice in that rivalry.
No, that's the media nonsense. That's the media.
No, here's where you're picking at the media, right?
Yeah. They create this. And look, Black and Gold Banneret's just as guilty of this because they're like, oh, the Ward I-4. Who the hell has give a bleep about a UCF-USF basketball game ever? Have you cared, Trace? Never. When have they played for significance? No. It's a made-up nonsense that fans and the media get sucked into every time this game is played. If anything, I think we prove why UCF should never play USF. What do you gain out of it, Trace? What do you gain out of it?
Yeah, didn't gain anything last night. I do think you're going to end on a loss at some point, right? Unless you win it all. But why them? Well, why lose? That's the part.
So right let me.
I don't think it takes away from the Big 12 wins.
Let me ask you this question: in 2007. Did you want, like, hey, the football loses to USF 64-12? Did that ruin the season? Or do you still remember Kevin Smith running all over Tulsa and winning the school's first conference title? Which one do you remember first, Trace?
Well, it begs this question, Elo. Does winning feel better than losing hurts? You mentioned the highs there, but I walked out of that game over in Tampa. I was so disgusted by the performance. So for me, I remember still these years later that loss more. All right, you asked the question off the top, what next for UCF men's basketball as it completes its first season of the Big 12? A winning record, 7-11 in conference play during the regular conference schedule. Johnny Dawkins with 1 year remaining on his contract. Does he go into that 1 year a lame duck? As we record, still part of this team, Coach Dawkins defended his record, NIT performances, appearances, NCAA appearances. Where do you think this program is now after its first season in the Big 12? And what do you think lies ahead?
I think they're in a positive direction, unlike some of the other people that think sometimes doom and gloom. Here's why. In November, if I told you UCF went 7-11 in the Big 12 and won a Big 12 tournament game, what would you have said?
No.
No chance.
Jeffrey, I put my over-under at 5, and I was with I picked twice over West Virginia.
They overachieved. They didn't go 3-15 like another basketball team. They won 7 games. I actually think you can build on that. Now the question is, what is next? What is the vision for this program? Can they get resources to support them? Can they get that extra blue-chip player that maybe makes a difference for your program? Now you start building. I think with UCF basketball, and I think all the UCF teams, you take notes of everything you do this year in your first year in the Big 12, the positives, the negatives, and you evaluate and you say, how do we get better? How do we get to the next step? And I think that's for those in the higher-ups to make those evaluations.
Well, I asked Johnny Dawkins post-game, which went well after midnight.
Midnight, wow.
Conclusion of that 2.5-hour game. What will it take to win? Do you need more fan support? Do you need more support from the administration? What is it that will take it to another level? There are a lot of things. I mean, we saw what playing Big 12 basketball did in energizing the fan base, right? And sometimes those crowds were a lot of the visiting team's fans, but they brought juice to the arena. UCF still isn't as competitive as it needs to be in the NIL space, the paying for player space, right? And there's still a lot more that needs to be done. And I'm not entirely sure. And, we talk about topics, you and I, we bounce topics. We try to find things that we naturally disagree on. We don't disagree a great deal on this topic. We both are supportive of Johnny Dawkins' remaining head coach. You can make a change, but if you don't change the vision with those resources, I'm not sure how the next person succeeds greater than Johnny Dawkins has.
Agreed, but let's make this case, Trace. Let's not make it sound like the anti-Dawkins crowd is relevant. It's 5%. It's the same
scientific math. You got
it's 5%. Maybe it's up to 10% because some people are mad. It's the same people that want Gus fired after every game a loss happens in football, or if baseball gets swept. Rich Wallace ain't the guy either. We got a bunch of fans that are short notice and don't have any patience or knowledge or common sense of how their respective teams in sports works, or the fact that you're in a tougher league now. You're going to have more losses as a member of a Power 5 or now Power 4 school. To get over it. The days of winning 25 in a row are over. Over, Trace. Done.
I will say this. I think it's a social media fan base, a message board fan base. You get exposed to them. I'm not sure there are as many of them. There are far more people that just don't care, right, when it comes to men's basketball in the UCF fan base. I think there's this percentage of the fan base, Elo, and we've well gone over our time on this topic, that are miserable. And
no matter what.
That's
no
just the way
what.
They are about sports.
They'll find something. Look, you can change coaches, and I guarantee you the same people that are complaining about Dawkins now will complain about the next coach in about a year or two. Give them a couple years. They complain about Kurt, complain about Donnie, complain about George, they complain about everybody because they have nothing else to do, period. And that's just 5-10%, because I think 90-95% of the fan base is actually really good and very supportive and very objective. But there's that 5-10% they like to hear themselves yap.
I think a lot of those people watch this show, you know. Next topic.
We got smart fellas. All right. Postseason. Interesting note. The NCAA tournament going on. There's been a lot of chatter about perhaps expanding the tournament. Trace, where do you lie on that? Johnny's in favor of that. Made a comment to you about he feels UCF has proven to be one of the top 100 teams and all that. Should the tournament expand? There's been some whispers. Greg Sankey wants to do it. Certainly, Brent Yormark has been outspoken about that. Where do you stand?
As we'll talk about later in the television contract, it's greed. They're going to mess up something that works. They're going to squeeze it more for the biggest conferences. I'm kind of fine with where it is, but you're talking to somebody that really wasn't in favor of interleague play in baseball, didn't want divisions. So I'm more traditionalist on these things. I think the way it has been for a number of years is fine. I'm not sure I even care about these play-in games in the NCAA tournament. I know a UCF Mike bashes the NIT as being useless. I think that tournament is fine. I don't think you need three others after that. I'm fine with it the way it is, and they're going to mess up a good thing. Who's clamoring for it besides these commissioners and maybe some TV networks?
100% agree. The tournament was perfect. It's why it's so popular this time of year. You don't need to change it. I do think the NIT is in trouble. Somebody explain to me why the transfer portal is open now. Like, why?
That's crazy.
It's insane. Like, it just
can't
like,
you open that thing when they cut down the nets on the final game? Isn't that the point when you can open it?
That would make a lot more sense. But God,
aren't these students supposedly in school during the spring semester? What difference does it make if you open this portal?
I agree. I don't understand it. Nobody can make any sense of it. The sport's out of control. The college athletics is out of control. But everybody's in for their own gain, and I don't know where. Unfortunately, I do think eventually this tournament is going to expand at the expense of the little guy. And in a weird way, Trace, it does benefit UCF, because as long as they're in the Big 12, their best chance to make the NCAA tournament most years is if this tournament expands. Because I think UCF, I don't care who the coach is, unless there's a drastic change in philosophy as far as how you feel about basketball, UCF's going to struggle just to be a top 10 team in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But look at other than Oklahoma turning down an invitation to the NIT, it would have been everybody except Oklahoma State and West Virginia in some sort of postseason tournament, which is exactly what Brett Yormark likes. And to your point, UCF can go 7-11, 17-14 in a regular season, pad with some non-conference wins, and they're going to find themselves in one of the two tournaments unless they finish like Oklahoma State and West Virginia did this season. So, all right. He's preserving his voice. We bring back Adam now for some silliness, as long as his voice can hold out.
My voice is just solid, my friends. Eric, I'm going to start with you on this one. There is a report today from On3 Sports that the Seattle Seahawks are bringing John Rhys Plumlee into the facility for a top 30 visit. So obviously, teams get to have certain players come in to visit their facilities. The Seahawks are welcoming in John Rhys Plumlee. So Eric, I'll start with you. Does JRP get drafted?
Boy, I can't imagine it, but maybe because he's such a great athlete that somebody's going to take a flyer in the last round and see what they could do with him, right? Like, that's my guess, is somebody will take a flyer on him to see maybe if they could get him into maybe being a receiver if he's willing to do that.
No, no. Is he coming in with the knee brace still on? No, absolutely not.
I mean, I don't know what his outfit's going to be, Trace, but I'll check in on that for you. Let's stay in football for a second. I saw this story interesting. Jim Harbaugh, as you both know, left Michigan to go to the LA Chargers, and he had a garage sale this past weekend where he was selling off a bunch of his stuff. So that made me think of this question, Trace. If you could attend a garage sale hosted by any current or former UCF player, coach, administrator, you could go to this garage sale and buy something. Which UCF player, coach, administrator's garage sale would you want to attend and buy something?
Can I, as I think about the answer to that question, can I just appreciate that Jim Harbaugh or some member of his family likes snow globes a lot? Yeah. I stopped that picture. I zoomed in a little bit at like 20 on a table. I don't know. I can't imagine wanting to check out anything George O'Leary has. I don't know. I may be stumped on this one, Adam. Nobody's coming to mind in particular. You know, you're near somebody. You live near Blake Bortles. I wouldn't mind seeing his UCF collection of swag.
Okay. Eric?
So this is going to be former or could it be active?
Active, yeah, active.
Because, like, I would love some of the Gus polos for football. Mm. Like, the football coaches have the best polos at their disposal for different outfits. Give me some of that.
It's a great – Trace, that's how you play this game. That's a great answer by you, Eric Lopez. All right, let's transition to basketball. A serious question. Obviously, the tournament starts on Thursday. I know I don't count the first two games as a tournament. So the tournament starts Thursday. So, Eric, I'll start with you. Does a Big 12 team win the NCAA tournament this year? Yes or no?
Virginia doesn't think it was a tournament either. They didn't make a basket for like 10 minutes. They score in their playing game. And people think we're the only teams that can't shoot. Will a Big 12 team win the national title this year? I'm going to say no. I don't think they will. I don't think Houston has enough offense. I think UConn's going to repeat. I think that so, but I do think the Big 12 will have multiple teams into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I agree with Elo. I don't see Houston winning at all, but I think UConn has shown throughout the season that they could. So no to that, but I agree. Some teams into that Sweet 16.
All right, last one, Trace, I'll start with you. This is an integrity check question. When you're filling out your brackets, are you one bracket only, or do you fill out multiple sheets, multiple brackets, multiple pools to cover your bases? Trace, reveal your answer now. Are you one bracket guy, or are you a multi-bracket guy?
What if my correct answer is I'm a zero bracket guy?
You're no fun.
With travel for work, and I haven't paid attention to these playing games because I was otherwise distracted by UCF. I haven't even looked at doing a bracket, so probably a zero bracket guy this year.
Well, once again, Eric Lopez saved the segment. One bracket guy or multiple bracket guy?
Oh, I'm a multi-bracket guy. You know, there's certain games that kind of conflict. You know, one, you got to fill one on ESPN. You got to fill one for Suns UCF lot. You know, you got to fill out for – you got to please everybody in different platforms. I actually haven't filled one out the last couple of years because I'm usually broadcasting during the tournament.
Whoa. So you're a zero bracket guy too.
No, is what you're saying. But when I have, I would go multi. I answered the question that he asked, unlike you that dodged it completely.
All right. Well, based on that question, if I'm filling out, it's one.
All right. New wrinkle from now on. I'm going to start scoring these and declaring a winner at the end of each silly game. This week, Eric Lopez. Congratulations.
Scoring the silly game. Thank you, Adam. You know, a game that we've had some fun with. Hey, that prop bet game, Elo. I take a commanding 11-9 lead over you in the prop bet game. Reminding that when UCF played BYU last week, we had over under 10 threes for BYU. You surprised me by going with the under because I think you were hoping that UCF would pull off a win over BYU.
It was with the heart. And I was also a little bit under the weather like Adam was, so I was probably under a little bit of meds too. So that probably didn't help. But I'm going to give you a prop. Hold this goal. This is right ad lib here, folks, because Trace is like, what are we going to do for props? So I'm going to give you a prop here.
You're really good at coming up with unique ones. Free throws versus hits.
I'm going to give you one you love so much. Attendance props, baby. UCF softball hosting number 2 Texas this weekend. Big hoopla. I'm going to give you the over-under. 1,300 people as far as the largest crowd of the weekend. 1,300.
What's capacity? Capacity isn't even that, right?
I'm gonna give you cheat sheet for you to look up. Give me an over under.
I'm gonna go with under because I don't think they can fit that many people in.
I'm going right. Over, baby. We're going over. Outfield, the lounge is expanding, the kingdom. It's going to be great. We'll see what happens. Weather, though, could play in your favor. Weather forecast not great on Friday, so that also could help in your favor.
What's the press box seating for that one,
Milo? Very.
You have a guaranteed seat.
For now. I haven't been told I don't have a seat, thankfully. We'll see when I show up if they still have a seat on that. Hey, while I'll be at Salt, but you know what's been quietly going on? Spring football. Trace. Spring football. Haas, yes.
Well, no, they paused for spring break.
Well, coaches, I mean, I'm sure somebody's upset about that, and they want a coach on the hot seat for that, I'm sure. But anyway, give me your storylines as they pause when they come back, Trace, that you're looking forward to seeing from a football standpoint here in spring practice.
Well, I'd like to see the continuation of media access. Gus Malzahn allowing the media.
Of course, the media. It's all about me.
Practices, Elo. Also, well, in fairness, I know you're poking at that, but it's allowed us to talk with players after the podium sessions, and I think those conversations have been more interesting than the stuff you get from the podium, so I'd like to see a continuation of that. Of course, you don't want to see anybody hurt, and you want to hear positive things coming out about the defense in particular for me. That's something I want to hear, how that defense is coming together and how they're adjusting to new defensive coordinator Ted Roof.
I actually will. I teased about it, but I do think the media access is important. I think it's important for the players and that to connect with the local media that helps spread the word, right? You want to build it up so you bring more casual people interested in your program. I think the spring's a great time to do that because in the fall, it gets very stressful. It's time, it's in season, game weeks, it's a lot more chaotic. Build it up, get to know KJ Jefferson. What makes him tick? I'd like to know more about him. Mr. Trace Trelco, because he's going to be a big focal point of this football team and this team's success in that quarterback position. What makes KJ Jefferson tick? There's my assignment for you.
What makes him tick? We had an opportunity to speak with him last week. I know he likes roller coasters, so that's one thing.
You're in the right city for roller coasters. A lot of themed roller coasters around.
I will tell you, just in my approach to coverage, and maybe it's maturing through the years, I'm just not going to go crazy with the expectations game. If Gus wants to do that, you fans want to do that, I'm going to be more even-keeled about it and try and enjoy it for what it is, some football to chew on during springtime.
Yeah, no expectations. Let's keep football under wraps. Put all the expectations on basketball because that has the history for it, for sure.
That's right. We've talked about some changes in college football. Some interesting notes over the last couple of days. The revenue distribution, showing what the Big 12 is going to make or not make compared to the Big 10 and the SEC. And also a multi-billion dollar TV contract, Elo, that keeps all the college football playoffs and, heck, nearly every bowl game on ESPN. Interestingly enough, if I read it correctly, championship game, though, on ABC. Not ESPN. I thought that was an interesting change in the future TV contract.
Yeah, that'll start, I believe, the 26-27 season there after that new contract kicks in. The distribution, SEC, Big Ten get the majority of the pie. Big 12 is fourth. ACC's third. However, I don't know if you're following, Trace. I think the ACC's days are numbered. Clemson comes out, kind of starting to pick a fight with the ACC, kind of like Florida State did. I think you're going to see now the ACC teams could be in trouble here. And I would not be surprised in a couple of years, the ACC maybe gets done like the Pac-12 does, because that means more money for the other SEC Big Tens. And if those schools want to get that type of money, they're going to have to leave the ACC. Unfortunately, I see a lot of more realignment, a lot of more moving chairs coming here in the sport that I don't think it's necessarily good for college athletics, but you know, it's good for somebody, I guess.
Well, I think I'll give you an example of the airline industry. When you have fewer and fewer choices, mergers and consolidations, what does it mean for your price on a ticket, you know? So it's not in the Big 12's best interest to see the implosion of the ACC any more than it was for any of, you know, Big 12, ACC to see the Pac-12 go away. You put all the power in the hands of the Big 10 and the SEC. I don't think that bodes well for the Big 12 and UCF. I don't look at it as, could they be the last standing? The distance between those top two and the Big 12, if the ACC implodes, is quite a distance. So I don't think it's in their best interest.
Because, right, because, yeah, they might take out the ACC. You might last longer than the ACC, but it's only a matter of time before you're next. And I think you're starting to see more and more of that. And I think it's why it's critical for football at UCF to be successful, because this sport's is changing by the day. A decade from now, it could be different. You might think you're in the clubhouse right now. You might be in the odd house coming 5-10 years from now. The way this is going, man, it's going in a way different direction. It might come in maybe even a little. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little English Premier League here, where maybe 10, 20 years from now, the SEC and Big Ten grab all these teams, and then they decide, all right, let's cut some fat here and maybe get rid of a Vanderbilt, get rid of Northwestern, and just go with their big NFL model.
And you can't say that they'll value loyalty at the end of the day, because they have ended rivalries, long-standing rivalries over realignment and TV contracts. So you can't say that they won't jettison a Vanderbilt if given an opportunity. Hey, we're a little over, Elo. 2 minutes on these next topics.
All right, I'll try to calm down. Baseball wins their first Big 12 series against Oklahoma State over the weekend, beat FAU Tuesday 3-2. They head out to Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks, Trace. Feeling better about baseball as they head over to Lawrence?
I like the bounce back after the sweep at Oklahoma. They take 2 of 3. Now, they gave up 16 runs on Sunday. However, they battled back. There were 2 big innings in that one. They continue to hit home runs, which is good, including, hey, how about you with the big Andrew Sundin home run call, a rare Eric Lopez because of scheduling things going on. Baseball call. How much fun did you have out at the park calling that one?
It was fun. Get to see Rich Wallace. I mean, I was a student when Rich Wallace was a player. I was calling UCF.
You're baseball. Old.
I'm a little old. The hair probes that. So it was cool to see him in person. Look, I'll say this. They got a good bullpen in the back end with Kramer and Santala. That seems to be working for him. He's got a lot of new faces, but he's got a lot of experienced players that have wanted other programs. And I think that's the philosophy for Rich. And I think this series, and I talked to him after the game, can they translate what they've been doing at home, translate that to Lawrence, Kansas? That did not go out well with Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. I think this is a big series for them because there's Big 12 schedules backloaded. I think this is a big series for them to see if that translates. There's some weather in the forecast that's not good. They got to figure out a number 3 starter on the weekend. But I'm encouraged where Rich is leading this direction of this program. I got a sense, Trace, of we're going back to that old Jay Bergman era when it was the most successful era of UCF baseball ever. Rich is a part of that family. And I think we're starting to get back to that a little bit, which I think bodes well for the future of this program.
Win series, shifting to softball on that point. They did not win the series nor a game at Oklahoma State. What, number 4 in the country, Eric Lopez. And now they welcome in number 2, Texas. Home cooking, does that right the ship for the softball Knights?
Well, I think they're going to have a big crowd that it's going to help them.
A lot of Texas people, though.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully not, but maybe. Look, Texas is legitimate good. I think they're the second best team in the country. They're ranked number 2. I think they're the biggest threat to Oklahoma for the national title. And just our luck, Trace, they're both in our conference, huh? In our league. You realize this,
for one Trace, more year.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's this year. We can't move them quicker. UCF has played the 14th strongest schedule this year. It is an amazing schedule. But you mentioned it. It's a thing of margins. They were in every game in the Oklahoma State game, but there was an inning here or there, a play there that was the difference between winning that series and getting swept. Welcome to life in the Power 5. They've got to clean some of that up to have a shot to knock off teams like Texas. They're going to have a great atmosphere there. I feel like, Trace, if they can get over the hump and maybe take a game from Texas, that could set them up for a big second half of the year. But can they get over the hump remains to be seen.
And I hope we do not go back and say, boy, if they had won that Sunday game to sweep Kansas, possibly, that comes back and hurts them somewhere. Because you know these games against Texas, Oklahoma, very difficult series. You got to get wins when you can in this league. And that was a missed opportunity for them. Good luck on the broadcast this weekend. Let's bring back in Adam. What did we get right, get wrong, or educate us, Adam?
All right, I got some fun stuff for you. You guys were talking about the Cows and UCF game. Here we go. So UCF shot 12 of 23 from the free throw line. That's 52%. The Cows shot 13 of 24 from 3. That's 54% from 3. You asked about their season average. They were 37% on the season from 3 points. So clearly shot above their skis at playing UCF. We talked about UCF and where they're at. And everyone brings up the Kansas win. Here's a fun fact on Kansas. They're 22 wins this year. is the least number of wins they've had. If you throw out the COVID season, right, we didn't play a full schedule, it's the least number of wins they've had since 1988, 1989. For context, they were in the Big Eight at that point, and that was Roy Williams' first year as coach. So maybe this really wasn't a great Kansas team after all, by the way. Expanding the tournament. Here's an interesting fun fact for maybe why we want to do this. It expanded in 1985, 64 teams at that point. There were 287 teams that were eligible. And now in 2024, 68 teams, there's 367 teams that are in D1. So in theory, in 1985, 18% of the teams, 22% rather, had the opportunity to join, 18% now. So maybe there's an argument to bump that up a little bit. And you talked about the revenue split. Big Ten, SEC get 29% or $21 million. ACC gets 17%, $13 million. Big 12, 15%, $12 million.
Hmm. Interesting numbers, Adam. Thank you. One more thing before we go. Elo, check these off. Are you an alum?
Sure.
Yeah. In the military? No. A veteran? Still no. How about a pilot? Well, if you are those things, UCF wants you. Athletics looking for people to participate in flyovers at football away games this fall, which was an interesting part of this. Not the home games. They may do that as well for the home games, but they're looking for people on these road games. Elo, if you were part of a flyover, where would you want to fly over? Fort Worth, Texas, Gainesville, Florida, Ames, Iowa, Tempe, Arizona, or Morgantown, West Virginia? Which would be your choice to fly over?
Tempe. I've never been to Tempe, Arizona. I've been to Texas plenty of times. Give me a little West Coast flavor.
A lot of Red Rocks as well. Look for new episodes midweek, every week on the Sons of UCF YouTube channel, wherever you get your downloadable audio content. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eric Lopez. I'm Trey Strelko. Thanks, everyone, for watching this week's Around the Kingdom.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.